Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. It's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the most comprehensive Steelers site on the internet, and I'm David Todd. Dave, season two, number 122, 22 days till training camp, and number 22 for the Pirates, had a big night last night with four hits and was named National League Player of the Month in June. So we got 22s all around.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, you tell me I need to leave the house today and go buy one of those, play all twos on the pick three
yes.
Today?
Yeah, you got to get a lottery ticket. You can't get a scratch off because that you don't get to pick your number. So you got to go find a lottery ticket with a 22 in it.
Yeah, absolutely. A little over 3 weeks now until the Steelers report to training camp. And I'm tickled pink. I'm trying to find anything and everything to write about right now during this dead zone. There's a little bit of news coming in here and there, but I have a feeling these next 3 weeks will go by pretty quick here.
Yeah, exactly. We got the 4th of July coming up tomorrow, a little holiday. You doing anything good?
Sitting in front of the computer and I cannot stand, my dog cannot stand people firing off those fireworks, so I might have to go off and fire off my 12 gauge a few times to kind of get all that to quiet down. We'll see.
All right, well, we've talked about it, it's quiet time. We know people are out enjoying the month. As I've told you, and I've been plugging on our podcast here, I'm hosting for Joe Bendel these 3 weeks. Joe's no dummy. He knows when to take vacation. So he'll be back in the chair when the Steelers come in for camp. But we had Matt Williamson on yesterday and talked about some of the offseason moves, a lot of the stuff we've talked about, and what's going on around the division and which teams he liked moves. So he'll have something up on ESPN Insider on Monday, looking at every team's offseason moves. But we've done some of that, and we've done a lot of the Steelers stuff, but let's start today. You've just put a post up, and we've talked a lot about the Steelers offensive line and what happens. And so it was interesting. Matt's comment was if he was going to take a position group, offensive line position group, he might take the Steelers because over the next 3 to 5 years, he can't imagine anybody being better than the Steelers. It doesn't mean the first 8 weeks of the season the Steelers are going to have the best offensive line, but certainly if all these guys play to their ceiling, we've already seen Pouncey. Gilbert looks like he's done well his first season, and then with the two first-rounders coming in, if these guys start to play to their ceiling, this is going to be a dynamic group.
Yeah, and the big wild card, of course, Mike Adams, in my opinion. We'll talk about Max Starks here in a little bit, but I'm going through the AFC North and kind of giving readers a thumbnail sketch of the opposition in the AFC North. Of course, the Steelers won't face the Ravens until weeks 11 and 13 this year, which is good for the Steelers, in my opinion. You give that offensive line time to gel together and all like that. But when you look, when you look at the Ravens' offensive line situation, Bryant McKinney's going to be their left tackle again this year. He'll turn 33 in September. This is a guy that they held out in minicamp just a few weeks ago because of a little bit of conditioning issues. They want him down below 350 pounds by the time the team reports to training camp. And if you remember, McKinney was the one that was cut last training camp by the Vikings for, basically not being in shape coming out of the lockout there. There's no basically to it. That was the reason. And, it seems like this is an ongoing problem for him, but they did pay him a $500,000 roster bonus. So, the likelihood of them releasing him, I would say, is nil. But you got to remember, this guy is 33. He did play all 16 games last year. He was not great last year, though, in my opinion. Pro Football Focus had him down for 7 sacks, 9 quarterback hits, and 24 hurries during the regular season. And he was, he was one of the worst run blocking tackles in the league, according to PFF. I don't know if I'd say, down at the bottom of the list, but the guy really can't move, in like his younger days with the Vikings and all like that. So that's definitely, when you look at their tackle position, of course, on the other side, they've got Michael Oher, And, you know, this is the Ravens' former first-round draft pick in 2009. He has played some left tackle in the past. This past season, he allowed seven regular season sacks to go along with six quarterback hits and 33 quarterback hurries. So, you know, outside of their starting tackles, David, they don't have a lot of depth, because you look at Ja Reed, a guy I think the question marks really sit out there on him. He only played, saw limited time his rookie season, kind of as to be expected. He best fits as a right tackle, in my opinion. So if they should lose, say they should lose Bryant McKinney during the season, I think Michael Orr would flip over to the left side. Ja Reed would come in to the right tackle side there. So that's their tackle situation as it lines up. Behind those three tackles, really, there's not much. I suppose they could have a Kelechi Osa-Malay, their draft pick from the second round, probably play some right tackle should the need arise. Their guard situation, everybody knows they lost Ben Grubbs via free agency to New Orleans Saints. That's a huge blow. That guy, Ben Grubbs, was one of, if not the you know, one of the best left guards I think in the league right now, and off he goes to the Saints. Their other guard, Marshall Yanda, is arguably their best offensive lineman they have left right now on the line. This is a guy that only allowed just two sacks during the regular season last year. He's really going to be the anchor of that line. Matt Burke turns 36 this month. Their center, they re-signed him this offseason. He missed minicamp due to having his varicose veins fixed in his legs. And, you know, those knees are always a risk. And I got to be honest with you, David, I was surprised he made it through 16 games last year. And he played quite well. He only allowed just two regular season sacks, just like Yanda did last year. But you have to think at 36 and with those knees and now getting those varicose veins fixed, he's a concern. At their other guard position, after they had lost Ben Grubbs to free agency, John Harbaugh came out and said that Ja Reed, who I just mentioned earlier, would have a chance to compete for that left guard spot. Well, evidently, maybe they didn't see that as a feasible solution there. They went out and signed Bobby Williams, the ex-Bengal, the ex-Philadelphia Eagle, I believe, to come in and compete for that left guard spot this year. And Williams missed a good portion. I think he only played in nine games last year. I think he started last season suspended for four games, and then he suffered a broken ankle late in the season there. If he can stay healthy, I think he's a fit on that line at left guard there. But you gotta think at his age, I think he'll turn 36 in September as well, too. When you look at their depth, not much experience there. Justin Boran was a guy that spent the season last year on the practice squad for him after being signed as an undrafted free agent. They went out and signed Tony Raggi from the St. Louis Rams, kind of to back up Matt Burke. Of course, they lost Andre Girard. They just chose not to re-sign him in free agency. I talked about they drafted Kelechi Osa-Malay, but this is a guy that's missed quite a bit of their offseason program due to a quad injury. A lot of people feel he needs a year in the weight room, a year on the sidelines, kind of getting ready for things. And then, of course, they drafted Gino Gretkowski as well, but I view him mostly as a project center slash guard that could very well end up on the practice squad of the Ravens to start the season. So basically, in some summation, here, you know, they talk about the Steelers being old, you know, last few years. The Steelers, of course, as you mentioned, have made a move to getting younger on the offensive line. The Ravens are old on the offensive line. I think by the time September rolls around, David, this is if those starting five that I went through there are the starting five, they're going to have an average age of 31.8, and their depth, in my opinion, is very, very suspect.
Yeah, what's interesting, Dave, is we've learned not to jump to too many conclusions here at this point in the season. I know when we the Steelers opened with the Ravens last year in the game, and the big question leading up to that game is how would the Baltimore Ravens offensive line gel? They had, as you said, McKinney. I think Grubbs was injured. Burke was playing center, and he had age issues. And it was really looked like the Ravens offensive line was going to be a weakness that held them back. And it turns out the Steelers offensive line had a terrible game. They got run over by the Ravens defense, couldn't move the ball at all. And it really changed the storyline. And as we know, that was one of two games the Steelers lost to the Ravens, and that ended up making the difference in home field advantage and a bunch of other things that affects the playoff run. So early to tell, but it certainly is, as you said, the youth and the Steelers side is a big thing going forward. And the Ravens have started to address this thing. They're going to need to address it in their linebacking core as well. And it's, you know, I think the Ravens are a big wild card this year. And I don't mean a wild card in the sense that they're going to, you know, be a wild card team. I think their performance, their level of play is more likely to be more variable and more of a surprise up or down than either the Steelers or the Bengals. I think the Steelers, people talk about the turnover in the roster, and we've gone over this 100 times, so I won't do it again, but the players who mattered were on the field last year are going to be the same guys who are on the field at the start of this year, more or less, with hopefully some upgrades at the offensive line position. For the Ravens, you're going to have some different things. You're going to have Flacco and Rice back, but you're going to have some changes in their offensive line. Obviously, Terrell Suggs is out, won't be there at least, you know, according to him, he won't be there for a few weeks, but let's put it at 10 to the season from most people's perspective. So they do have two excellent corners, maybe, you know, maybe the best, potentially the best corner pair in the league or one of the best in the league. Certainly Kansas City and some other teams have some good corners out there. And if Ed Reed comes back, as most expect, you've always got him and what he brings to the table. And Ray Lewis, let's not forget that. But, you know, Flacco and Rice, this is going to be a good team. But it's a team that might win. They might win 11 games, but they might win 7 or 8 games if things don't break for them. And I think you're right in pointing to the offensive line as being probably the key in that variability.
I think if that offensive line stays healthy, and yes, we did. I remember we pointed to that last year because Burke missed time. As you mentioned, I think Grubbs missed time. Of course, McKinney and his weight issues last year. Wondering if that line was going to gel and all like that. They did gel and they were able to stay healthy. But I think if they, you know, if they were to miss Bryant McKinney or on the other side there, or, you know, lose one of their inside guys, I think they are one injury away. Of course, you could say this about every offensive line in the National Football League. But I really think with Matt Burke and those knees and all like that, I think this is a even more suspect line with more question marks this going into this training camp than they were last year. I like I said, if this offense, if they can all start 15 to 16 games, I think they're going to be in good shape. But, you know, there's a question mark with Williams coming off that ankle and the games he missed last year. We talked about McKinney and his health. Boy, if they lose Marshall Yanda, man, they're really in trouble, in my opinion. You know, that along with Burke, that's their interior together. I think Yanda and Burke together make that line what it is, especially running the football. So I'm with you. This is when you add up everything, as you said, with their you know, maybe some age and inexperience at the linebacking core. Of course, Ray Lewis is another year older. There's no way Terrell Suggs is going to be ready until you know later on in the year. He might not even play at all. This is a team that could win 12 games or, as you put it, 7 or 8 games. So I don't think you can pencil them in exactly where they're going to finish this year.
And we mentioned Travis Turner, but what's the deal? We don't know exactly what the suspension, the 4-game suspension is a result of.
Yeah, Travis Turner from the Steelers, I found that a little bit surprising when he was released there in the beginning parts of May there. I thought, well, maybe, you know, this is a kid that has the three sets of the fraternal twins.
Yeah.
I thought, well, maybe this kid just probably says, look, I need to go out and start, you know, getting a job and getting some security and start providing for this family. Well, it came out yesterday that he's been, you know, he's a free agent since he was suspended. He still has been unsigned on the sideline, not surprising there. But it came out that he's been suspended for the first 4 games of the 2012 season. What for, we do not know. That's undisclosed. We can sit here and speculate, Adderall, blah, blah, blah. You know, who knows what it could be. But that certainly does explain now. Possibly he went to the Steelers and said, look, I tested positive for whatever, you know, and then they decided to part ways. A few days before that is when they had signed Kyle Jolly back to the roster. So, you know, we probably could have seen this coming somewhat. And a few days later, of course, Travis Turner was released. But, you know, this is a kid that I thought, you know, had maybe a very, very slim chance of making the 53 as a swing tackle. He, of course, spent the practice his rookie year on the Steelers practice squad. And it looked at worst he might be headed that way again to be kind of a developmental swing left swing tackle because of his size and his ability there. But it looks like that's not going to happen now. You know, this guy's out for the first four games. He's not even going to find himself onto a roster at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for him to have a career. Certainly, if this is, as you say, if it's a performance-enhancing drug, the NFL tends to not take this, apparently, and I think in most fans' opinion, not nearly as seriously as they do in baseball, and I don't think fans take it as seriously. It's something that's been in the game for a long time. It's shocking how few guys have actually been suspended, which makes you wonder about the teeth of the test. But, you know, we have all heard the stories now about the Steelers linemen of the 70s, and unfortunately we've seen some of the apparent consequences of some of that action. But the rules are in place, and guys, obviously guys still occasionally get nicked, but not many big-name guys. Brian Cushing of the Texans is probably the biggest-name guy to get nicked, and he's denied it, and he had a whole, you know, most ridiculous story in history, but, you know, undoubtedly in my mind he was using you know, guys will do the things they need to do to get an edge. So tough for him. You know,
and I think a lot of it's stupidity, David, with a lot of these guys, with them and these sleeping pills or, you know, no sleep pills or whatnot, stuff that they're not checking has perhaps Adderall in it or something like that. I don't think these guys are, and this is just speculation, I don't think they're going out purposely taking this stuff performance-enhancing. I think they're just trying to stay awake on long drives or something like that, putting something into their body that might be a little bit questionable that perhaps they don't have a prescription for, and then they're getting their pee testing for this stuff and getting caught, you know?
Well, I think that's true of some of them, and I think other guys are using steroids. They want to, you know, juice up, get bigger, get stronger, get faster, whatever it may be. So I'm sure there's the range of things, and, you know, the privacy thing. You know, when you're somebody like I'm guessing Travis Turner didn't test for Adderall or something like that, or he would be a Wesley Saunders situation where he'd say, you know, go to the team and say, look, I didn't know, and here's what it was, and we haven't heard that. So leads me to believe that maybe it was something more serious than that, and certainly the Steelers' cut and bait suggests maybe it was something more serious than that, but we're speculating, so let's not go too far down that road. Dave, we've talked a lot about what ifs with Mike Adams, and the fallback position is always Max Starks. And Max Starks was on Twitter, you know, the past couple of days, saying some good things about his health, that he's, you know, feels like he's essentially almost all the way back from the knee injury.
Absolutely, and it started off with me, and I think it was about the middle of last week. I saw him on Twitter, and I asked him real quick, how's the knee coming? You gonna be ready for camp? And he replied back to me, I believe so, but it takes more than just me to believe it. So, you know, that might have been a little bit, you know, something to the towards the Steelers saying, well, they're gonna have to, you know, I guess he needs to prove to him that maybe the Steelers don't believe him. But he came out later on in the week and he posted a photo of him on you know, his results on a squat machine, stating on Twitter that he generated peak force that day, feeling close to normal. And another tweet after that, he posted a picture. He's back doing his first true pass sets on the field as well too, and he has a nice picture of that up there. Says he feels good to be almost back to 100%. You got to think now. You got what 20 something days, 22 days until training camp. I believe he's got a doctor's appointment in 2 weeks. A little bird told me that, and I think Max is going to update his condition on Twitter. He's been real good about every couple of weeks of updating where he's at. Make no mistake, Kevin Colbert has come out and said that they've been in touch with Max. Max wants to come back. I think the Steelers want to get a good look at Mike Adams. Of course, you're not going to sign Max Starks back until he passes a physical and he can head straight out to the field. So what that time frame is, we don't exactly know. But I'm still not ruling this out. You know, maybe the day before training camp, if Max goes in for a physical and passes, maybe he's on. Because, hey, let's face it, we still got a We're at 89 on the roster right now, and I'm going to continue to speculate that that 90th spot is going to go to Max Starks as soon as he's ready, until it doesn't happen. So I think it's still a legit possibility. Look at the tackle depth for the Steelers. You got Jonathan Scott, Trey Essex behind Mike Adams. I don't really think they want Marcus Gilbert to start the season at left tackle there. I think they really would like to keep him at right tackle. So, we'll keep following this, and hopefully Max keeps updating his progress over the next 3 weeks. And I, for one, hope he's back. I hope he's healthy, and I hope he's able to start the season as the Steelers starting left tackle, at least for the first part of the year, until Adams can get up to speed.
I'll take the other side of that and play the devil's advocate and hope that Max isn't back, because that would mean that they feel like Mike Adams can do the job. Jonathan Scott's the guy we talked about a lot. He's there at $2 million. If they needed money, they could do something there. But the reality is Jonathan Scott's there as a placeholder. And Matt Williamson and I were talking on the show yesterday about the fact that if you have four good offensive linemen, you can rotate coverages and do things. Now, you don't want your weakest offensive lineman to be your left tackle, but you can do things to kind of manage that situation. The problem is if you only have three offensive linemen, good offensive linemen, or two good offensive linemen, you're in a pretty tough situation. And that's kind of the situation the Steelers have been in the past few years. But the thing is, if Mike Adams can do the job, they'll go to camp with Jonathan Scott, and he'll be the extra guy, the reserve tackle. I think it would be, if they do end up going to Max, it's going to be because Mike Adams didn't get the job done, and they feel like they need a guy for the whole season to come in and do the trick. And, we probably agree that all things being equal, if they're both healthy, Max Starks is better than Jonathan Scott. So that is, that's a legit, I think everybody knows that's in the back pocket if needed. But I'll just say, I don't think they'll do it unless, if needed, as you like to say, break glass in case of emergency. And the reality is, if they do go to Max Starks, that does tell you something about what they think of that left tackle position and Mike Adams.
I'm going back through that. People have asked me, I'm trying to go back through all the games of Mike Adams again, and for one interruption after the other, it seems like I haven't made it back through all those games, but I've made it through a couple of them, David, And I just have got a sick feeling that he's not going to be ready, by the first week of the season. I mean, I think the kid needs to get stronger. I kind of wonder where his commitment level is. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope after the first preseason game on the podcast, we're saying, oh my, David, this kid is quite the steal in the second round here. But my instincts tell me, from what I've seen on tape, that it's going to take a little while for him. And I think Kian Fahey posted this past week talking about some tackles and all like that, that since 2008, I think only one left tackle drafted in the second round has started week one right out of the chute. So, when you look at history and you look at what you have in Adams and all like that, I'm just concerned that he's not going to be ready, and there is no way they can let Jonathan Scott open up the season at left tackle. I suppose Sean Cougar's left it out there as a possibility with Gilbert there, but do you really want a guy flip-flopping around between, a guy that you're really wanting to really make right tackle, his craft and his home for the next, six, seven, 8 years, flipping back over to left tackle and then possibly back over to right in the middle of the season there? They like continuity on this line. And even though Gilbert, played left tackle quite a bit, it's his passion from his time in college and all like that. I just got a bet. I mean, it's either going to be him at left tackle, it's either going to be Mike Adams at left tackle, or it's either going to be Max Starks.
You've covered, I think, it could be Jonathan Scott, but, I
hope not.
I guess I'm less pessimistic than you. Look, Mike Adams, he's got work to do, and it's not going to be given to him, but I don't expect Mike Adams to be going to the Pro Bowl, excuse me, at left tackle this year. But I don't have, you know, I don't see any reason that with the coaching and the work that he's done in the offseason and the, you know, the 6 weeks he's going to have from July 25th till the opener in Denver, that he can't make progress and be, you know, an adequate performing NFL left tackle and just grow from there. So, you know, I maybe I'm naive in that respect, but we'll just see how it plays out. But I guess overall, I'm just generally less pessimistic about the situation. In fact, I'm optimistic about the situation, I would say.
Did you talk to Wolfley the other day, Craig Wolfley? Did you hit on Mike Adams any with him?
Sure, we talked a lot about it. And, you know, he says from what he's seen, he said he's a huge guy. He said, you know, these guys have the tools, and you've talked about getting the tools in the right spot in the toolbox and all those metaphors. But, yeah, you know, I think he was impressed with him as an individual, his imposing size and those aspects of things. And we'll get Wolf on here next week and talk more about that. But I think it's the same. I think he's cautiously optimistic, knowing that they're rookies and have work to do. But, you know, we've seen the leagues change. You know, rookie quarterbacks come in and play, and that never used to happen. And I think we're going to see a rookie left tackle be starting for the Steelers on opening day.
I tell you, if I'm Ben Roethlisberger, though, I'd much rather have a rookie tackle on my right side than I would my left side, especially in a new offense like he's having to learn. Let's face it, Ben wants Max back, too. I think he trusts him. I think he knows how to feel. You know, let's face it, Max is not going to go to the Pro Bowl if he comes back this year. But at least Ben knows what to expect from him, and I think he knows how to judge and feel what he can and can't do on that side. But, yeah, I mean, we're going to have Wolf on, I think, as you said, possibly next week sometime, and we'll definitely drill him down on that. It'll give me more time to watch even more. I'm trying to watch every snap of Mike Adams from last year as well, too, and should have a better viewpoint on him. Maybe he changes my opinion by next week.
Yeah, and, I think at this point now what matters is training camp, and I think it's going to turn out that I'm up there most days reporting for ESPN and for the Steeler Radio Network and all of that stuff. So, you know, hopefully I'll have some firsthand views and information and get a chance to talk to him myself, and we can see how it plays out. So, we'll reserve some judgment on that. But, Dave, the other thing we want to talk about just – before we finish up here is just talk a little bit about the safety position battles. We did some work talking about linebackers and kickers last week, but you know, you've done some work on the safeties, and it's one of the positions where I think it's interesting. The Steelers have the star in Troy. They have a guy who was named to the Pro Bowl last year in Ryan Clark. I think they're, as I've said a few times, I think these guys are fantastic in run support. I think they're overrated in their role in pass coverage, just because they both lack elite speed. Troy is fast enough and he has elite timing and quickness, but he's a risk taker, and Ryan Clark lacks that top level speed now as he gets older. And you've got Ryan Mundy is really the first guy backing him up. But, you know, just give us a synopsis of where you think the Steelers are and how you see that shaping up this year and then maybe going forward.
Yeah, I think the big question, first of all, of course, Ryan Clark's going to miss that first game against Denver because of his sickle cell trait. So the question becomes, do you keep four or five safeties on the roster coming out of camp because of that? Do you really just want one safety, you know, one backup safety that will likely play special teams in Will Allen? This might be Will Allen's saving grace of making a 53-man roster and why he's been kept around so long, because I mean the guy has not played but a handful of snaps in two seasons on defense. He's mostly been a special teams guy. He is a Mike Tomlin guy coming over from the Buccaneers, of course, but with a cap charge of just over $1.6 million, you have to wonder if they kept him around this offseason for a reason there, because basically you're looking to go into the week one game against Denver with Polamalu and Ryan Mundy, with Will Allen as the next guy possibly off the bench, assuming he makes the roster. And Will Allen also plays special teams. So, you know, one injury in your depth at safety, if you only keep four, of course, Ryan Clark being inactive for that game, is immediately hit. Now, behind that, you got Damon Cromartie-Smith, who we've had on the podcast before. I think this is a guy that really has, you know, a lot of people are talking about Myron Rolle, A lot of people want to talk about the kid, the Robert Golden kid, the undrafted free agent. I really think this might be the year that Damon Cromartie Smith cracks the 53-man roster here, because, you know, he's been around for a couple seasons now. He's no stranger to the way things are run there. I think Carnell Lake, I think this past offseason, you know, he finally has a complete offseason underneath his belt to work with Carnell Lake. Smith is a guy that likes to hit. More of a strong safety guy, in my opinion. Of course, the Steelers' safeties are pretty much are interchangeable. That's why it's hard to put a strong safety or a free safety designation as much as those guys flip around back there. But I really like Cromartie Smith's chances of making a 53-man roster. Myron Rolle is a great story. I mean, he really is a great story. I mean, a smart kid. No doubt that he's going to understand what's going on there. The question is, did he not make the Titans because of lack of dedication, because of the studies and all like that? Was the talent there? Just maybe he wasn't up to physical shape where he needed to be. This is pretty much make or break for him, in my opinion. I mean, is this a guy that's going to want to hang around on the practice squad if he does not make the 53-man roster? Possibly. You know, if he thinks down the road, you know, he can be in the Steelers' plans. But really, when it all boils down, if the Steelers keep four, it's hard to envision at this point Will Allen not being one of those fours. So, you know, of course, you got Clark, Polamalu, and Monday with Will Allen being the fourth. I think if you have a fifth one in there for at least the opening week of the season there, I think it's Damon Cromartie Smith. If he does not make the 53, then I think he's head and shoulders above where Myron Rolle needs to be right now at busting that practice squad spot again. And Robert Golden, really, I wish I could tell you a lot about this guy. He played both cornerback and safety at Arizona, snubbed from the NFL Combine perhaps because of being shifted around. I think he's best suited as a safety at the next level. Of course, special teams plays large with all these young defensive backs trying to make the Steelers roster here. So, he's on the outside looking in at this time. And, you know, I'm not ruling out the possibility of the Steelers possibly signing another safety between now and the start of training camp as sort of a camp body moving forward, but we'll have to see on that. But that's sort of your thumbnail sketch look at the Steelers safety position headed into training camp.
Yeah, I think I agree with everything you said. I think it just, you know, I've said this before, it wouldn't shock me if this ends up being Ryan Clark's last year, but maybe the heir apparent isn't all that clear, depending on people's views of Ryan Mundy. I do agree. Damon Cromartie Smith is a guy who could be that extra safety, and I think Myron Rolle is a total long shot to make this team. I think it is a good story. He's obviously an incredibly bright guy, a very interesting guy, and a good football player, but I just don't think he's going to be an NFL guy.
Yeah, and I'm rooting for him. I mean, like I said, hard not to, but, you know, I think people and a lot of fans are rooting for him, too. This guy is going to be super popular at training camp, man. He's going to be a rock star, but he's going to have to he's going to have to wrestle that position away from DCS, Damon Cromartie Smith, and have to contribute on special teams. And Will Allen, I think, has a very good chance of being the special teams captain this year. You got to remember Arnez Battle is not back this year. And, of course, Anthony Madison, who was a special teams guy for years with the Steelers, of course, was not brought back. So they need a guy probably like Will Allen to man the special teams unit and also serve as that extra safety. And right now, even though he's making that $1.6 million, it's hard to see him not making the roster right now. So when you start adding up the numbers, those four and five fill up real quick.
Yep, good stuff, Dave. As we said, this is the quiet time, so not a lot of news. We covered some things last week in terms of Drew Brees and Donovan McNabb. Any breaking NFL news that you want to throw out there?
Connor Dixon was a guy, the wide receiver that they had placed on. They waived him injured with a leg injury after minicamp there, and he cleared waivers, went back to IR. Evidently, he is recovered now. or they reach some sort of an injury settlement. He's been released from the injured reserve now and is back a free agent. So we had Brandon Lindsey, of course, last week. We talked about that. I have not seen whether or not there was an injury settlement there, if he's reverted back to the IR yet. Perhaps we'll get some clarification on that at a later date. But outside of that, David, you know, this time of year, unless you're following the Pirates or the Pens right now with the Zach Parise kind of daily stuff there, and, of course, it's good that the Pirates are winning right now as well, too. But I think that about wraps up what we've got with the Steelers, at least until Friday.
All right. Well, good stuff. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. Dave's at Steelers Depot. I'm at DT on Pirates and at Hammer Speaks. Listen to me on Joe Bendel Show on ESPN 970. You can also do that through the web. I'll be on 4 to 7 today, off tomorrow, July 4th, and then for the next 3 weeks through the third week in July. A lot of obviously baseball and hockey talk. As you said, Zach Parise's front and center on the front burner. Hopefully that gets resolved today. And certainly some football talk, and we'll have Dave on there later this week to go through some of this stuff. So without further ado, Season 2, Episode 122. Thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.